जय विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य स्तोत्र शत श्री श्रीमद डिवाइन ग्रेस भवे चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी महाराज प्रभुपाद की जय। इस्कॉन फाउंडर आचार्य बीबीटी संस्थापक आचार्य श्री प्रभुपाद की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव भक्त वृंद की जय। जय ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की जय। जय निताय गौर प्रेमानंदी हरि हरि बोल। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज। ऑल ग्लोरीज ऑल ग्लोरीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड गौरांगा। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 9 चैप्टर 10 चैप्टर एंड टाइटल द पास टाइम्स ऑफ लॉर्ड रामचंद्र टेक्स्ट नंबर 24, 25 and 26। So we have verse number 26 here. I'll just read through the translations of 24 and 25 and then together we'll chant verse number 26. Text 24. Tato nishkramya lankaya yata dhanya sahasrasha mandadarya samam tatra parodantya upadravam. Translation. Thereafter, all the women whose husbands had fallen in the battle, headed by Mandodari, the wife of Ravana, came out of Lanka. Continuously crying, they approached the dead bodies of Ravana and the other Rakshasas. Swan swan bandhuna parishwajya Lakshmane Shubhirarditan रुरुदुह सुस्वरं दीना घंत्या आत्मानम आत्मना. ट्रांसलेशन: स्ट्राइकिंग द ब्रेस्ट्स इन अफ्लिक्शन बिकॉज देयर हस्बैंड्स हैड बीन किल्ड बाय द एरोज ऑफ लक्ष्मण, द वुमेन एम्ब्रेस्ड देयर रिस्पेक्टिव हस्बैंड्स एंड क्राइड पिचियसली इन वॉइसेस अपीलिंग टू एवरीवन. Text 26, please respond. Ha hataha sma vayam natha loka ravana ravana kam yayach charanam lanka tvadvihina परार्दिता. हा हतास्म वयम् नाथ लोकरावण रावण कम्यायाच्चरणं लंका त्वद्विहीना परार्दिता. हा हताः स्म वयम् नाथ लोकरावण रावण कम्यायाच्चरणं लंका त्वद्विहीना परार्दिता. हा हताः स्म वयम् नाथ लोकरावण रावण कम्यायाच्चरणं लंका त्वद्विहीना परार्दिता. त्वद्विहीना परार्दिता. मदस्: लोकरावण रावण कम्यायाच्चरणं लंका तद्विहीना परार्दिता. आहता स्म वयम् नाथ हा अलास हताह किल्ड sma in the past, vayam all of us, natha O protector, loka ravana O husband who created the crying of so many other people, ravana O ravan one who can cause crying of others. Come unto whom? Yayat will go. Sharanam, shelter. Lanka, the state of Lanka. Svat vihina, being bereft of your good self. Para ardita, being defeated by the enemies. Translation: O my Lord, O Master, you epitomized trouble for others, and therefore you were called Ravana. But now that you have been defeated, we are also defeated. For without you, the state of Lanka has been conquered by the enemy. To whom will it go for shelter? Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada. Ravana's wife, Mandodari, and the other wives knew very well how cruel a person Ravana was. The very word Ravana means one who causes crying for others. Ravana continuously caused trouble for others. But when his sinful activities culminated in giving trouble to Sita Devi, he was killed by Lord Ramachandra. Om Ajnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahiyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitantam Sajiva Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vashadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Because of some unforeseen reasons, His Holiness Chandramouli Swami Maharaj, who was going to give class today, is not present. And so, I would like to seek the blessings of all the devotees that I may properly follow in His footsteps and speak something that is pleasing to all devotees. So here in this chapter, the glories of Lord Ramchandra are being explained. And the present context of the scene is that Ravana is lying dead, pierced by the arrows of Lord Ramachandra. And there is grief in all corners of Lanka. since millions of soldiers, the entire army has been wiped out, we can hear in all corners of Lanka the wailing and crying of the widowed ladies, the queens, the wives of the warriors, of the princes, of the king. In fact, the Ramayana says, it explains the scene, that as soon as Ravana falls, the war comes to an end. All the ladies, because ladies sometimes would watch from a distance, they see their king fallen. They all come out wailing in distress, and especially Mandodari, the wife of Ravana, comes out in great despair. And Valmiki Muni, the great poet, he describes her as grief incarnate. She is so grief stricken. So in these three verses, which describes the pitiable state of the women of Lanka on seeing their fallen warriors, we find Mandodari and also the other queens, but she is representing all of them, also the other ladies. She speaks the truth, and Srila Prabhupada comments on her words in his purport. So even when she sees her husband dead, Mandodari is remembering all the times that she tried to counsel Ravana, as a good wife should. A virtuous, chaste wife is a good counselor for her husband. So she does that throughout. But as we find even in today's modern scenario of the science of counseling, one of the principles, the main principles of counseling is that one speaks the truth in a way that is understandable. A truth in context to a particular person's life, as counseling is done. In the context of the person who is in front of us, who has come for counseling, in context of their life, and also in context of the absolute truth, as much as one has knowledge of the absolute truth. But in a way that the person can understand. I'm sorry. And assimilate. Otherwise, if truth is spoken in a way which is not understandable, then such counseling has no result. So Mandodari, being the daughter of the great architect of the Rakshasa clan and the great warrior Mayadhanav, she was well trained in these arts. Also as a queen of Ravana, who was a king of Lanka and the entire universe in fact, she was well adept in all such kingly affairs. At the same time, she had the quality of virtue and chastity, purity, good sense, and all this helped her to try and give proper counsel to Ravana. In fact, many observers on the Ramayana, they have brought forth this point. And I say observers and not commentators, but many observers, even those which seemingly appear to be laymen, they've noticed this point,
that Ravana was received counsel from many people, especially in regards to returning Sita. He received counsel or he received advice from the monkeys who came across Hanumanji, Angad, even Sugriva. Messengers came from Ram asking him to return Sita. In fact, on the penultimate day, the one day before the last, when Ravana was fighting with Ram, Ram totally destroyed his chariot, destroyed his armor, cut through all of his weapons, his bows. Ravana was standing on the battlefield shattered. He did not have a car, he did not have a chariot, his horses were dead, his charioteer was dead, he could not recall any of the mantras for weapons, he was thoroughly bewildered. And Lord Ramchandra was on the chariot of Matali, the chariot sent by Indra. Seeing him standing on the battlefield, incapable of protecting himself, Lord Ramchandra, he offered him sanctuary. He said, "All right, Ravan, you seem to be tired and bewildered. Why don't you go back, rest, take care of your wounds, seek good counsel, eat nicely, drink good beverages, something that will nourish you. Collect all of your weapons and come out and fight tomorrow again. I'll be waiting for you right here." However, if even now you return Sita to me, I'm ready to go back just from here. See, Lord Ram, he did not unnecessarily challenge his ego. Because for Ravan that would be totally unacceptable. So he said, "I'm ready to go back from here right now." Not only that, but this entire kingdom of Lanka will still remain yours with all of its wealth and prosperity. In fact, all those who are lying dead will come back to life. You'll have back all of your friends and your relatives. And you can enjoy. And I'll go back with Sita into the forest. I'm ready to do that. And Ravan said, in his heart, because there he could not say anything, but in his heart he said, "No, never." And some other versions of the Ramayana, it is explained that he prayed to Lord Shiva and Lord Shiva came and said, "What do you want, Ravan?" He said, "Fight on my behalf." He said, I could, but then I'll be defeated. Therefore, I won't fight. In fact, if you want some good advice, then return Sita back to Ram. So he was receiving counsel from everyone, including Lord Ram directly, Mahadev, Lord Shiva, whom he worshipped with all his heart and soul, at least for his material desires, and whenever in distress, he called upon him. But in all instances where he was receiving advice, whether it be from Vibhishan, his brother, or from his own maternal grandfather Malyavan, even Kumbhakarna advised him, "Ravan, you are a fool. Why did you take Sita away from Ram? Don't you know who Ram is? He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Anyways, what is done. Now I will protect you." So even Kumbhakarna offered him this advice. And then the monkeys came. And Mandodari was always offering him this advice, that please return Sita to Ram. And the observers, they have noticed that in all the instances where he has received this counsel from his counselors, from different quarters, in every instance Ravana got angry. Always. With Vibhishan he got angry, with Malyavan he got angry, with Lord Shiva he could not retaliate, but he was within his heart feeling, "What is the use? You don't fight, doesn't matter, I will go and fight." With Ram he was not ready to accept. But with Mandodari, whenever she advised him, he never got angry at her. He just laughed away her fears. That's it. So the observers comment, this was the quality of Mandodari. She was such a counselor. Never is there an instance in the Ramayana where Ravana angrily rebuked Mandodari for her advice. He never sent her away like Vibhishan. He never spoke insulting words as he spoke to his maternal grandfather Mallavan. He did not become furious at her as he became furious at the monkeys. All he did was always laugh away her fears or her advice and say, "Oh, it's okay, it's okay. Don't you worry." So this is the virtuous quality of Mandodari, which has been glorified, at least in history of what is called as the Vedic times, since the Vedic times. As someone who had very good qualities, even though she was the wife of Ravana, she had good qualities. Right. All her good association was maybe her own heart, because her association was Ravana. But it goes to show that sometimes when we blame fate, we blame providence for not giving us sufficient enough, then we can see in what situation Mandodari was. Right? Vibhishan was a man. He at least, although he was subordinate to Ravana and as a younger brother, he did not have much independence, but he had a little more than did Mandodari, who was his wife and his chief queen. But she always kept her good intentions, her good sense of discrimination, and always gave good advice. Compare that with Gandhari in the Mahabharata. She is also glorified as very chaste. She never left her husband. She always counseled her husband. At one point of time in the Mahabharata, she gets angry at Krishna. "Because of you, everyone has been killed. My son is lying dead." But in the Ramayana, we never find Mandodari getting angry at Lord Ram. In fact, here in this verse, she is saying, "You epitomize trouble for others and therefore you are called Ravana." Now, is she chastising Ravan? Is she trying to break up all connections with Ravan and show to Ram and company that actually I didn't have anything to do with him? You know, just like after the Second World War, some of the Nazis who were on trial, they said, no, we were not the SS, you know, we were just simply following orders, we were simple soldiers. Is that what Mandodari is doing here? In front of everyone, she's making a show. "You are called Ravan because you caused trouble for others." Is that it? It is her feeling of affection for this fallen warrior who never in his entire life as a husband to her gave her personally any trouble. And that is what she is grateful for. Gratefulness does not mean that you only speak words that one likes to hear. But it means also being fearless and explaining what the truth is whenever required. That is also gratefulness. In fact, in the Vaishnava Siddhanta, such gratefulness allows one to introspect properly and not be in despair on understanding or disqualifications, go in depression. Not trying to over-exaggerate, but stating in clear terms, "My dear Lord, this is who I am. However, whatever I have received, which was beyond, you know, any of my karma, my artha, it was simply your mercy. I am eternally grateful to you for that." So here she is saying, "You caused trouble for all of others, therefore you are called Ravana. But you never made me cry. Now you are making me cry." You are Ravana for everyone else. But even when you wanted me as a wife, you approached my father and said, "My dear sir, have fallen in love with your daughter. Can I marry her? I am Ravana of this great lineage, the son of Vishrava, from Pulatsmuni, that lineage. You are from the lineage of Kashyapa. This alliance would be good. Please agree. And Mayadana was very happy to have this union of these two lineages. He never forced her. But now here, he is making her cry piteously. And therefore she is saying, you are Ravana, because you epitomize trouble for others. But now that you have been defeated, we are also defeated. For without you, the state of Lanka has been conquered by the enemy. As long as Ravana was there, those who stayed within the state of Lanka were always fearless. He was a very good administrator and a king. And because of their fearlessness, because of this fearlessness, only it is not that everyone was as powerful as Ravan. They were very powerful Rakshasas. But however powerful Rakshasas may be, they know that they have someone who can challenge them. They know there is someone who can defeat them. That is what happened with Subahu and Marich. And Lord Ram, as a 16-year-old boy, shot both of them down. 16, some commentators say he was just 11. He was not even married then, so he was under 12. But as a young boy, he didn't have his facial hair in that sense. He comes and shoots Subahu dead. He kills first Taraka, then kills Subahu, and Marich throws 800 yards, yojanas into the ocean. And Marich is in constant fear of him. He knows that this person can challenge me. So the Rakshasas, they are very powerful, but they know. But under Ravan, they are totally fearless. They knew that as long as Ravan was ruling over the impenetrable kingdom of Lanka, there, they have nothing to fear. But then, because Ravana was following the path of adharma, unrighteousness, being in the kingdom of fearlessness, they were struck by the ultimate fear, the fear of death. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is described in the instance of Vritrasura and Indra that although Indra had the weapon of destroying Vritrasura, the demon, someone who was born in the demoniac lineage, an asura. So he had fearlessness personified in his hands in the form of that thunderbolt, but he had immense fear within his heart. When he saw Vritrasura destroying everything. At one point of time, Vritrasura had gobbled up Indra for so many years, for a long time. But Vritrasura, on the other hand, his hands were chopped off, his legs were chopped off, Indra was sawing at his neck for one continuous year. Imagine someone at our neck and trying to saw it off for one whole year, and is simply praying to the Supreme Lord that when I will give up this mortal body and come to the shelter of your lotus feet, the eternal abode. In fact, he's trying to convince Indra that actually you are meant to kill me. Why are you afraid of me? I'm not afraid of death. So although they were staying in the city of Lanka, where practically there was no fear, actually no fear, this Rakshasa was totally without fear. How could they be fearful? Their king had defeated everyone in all corners of the universe, including the demigods. His broad chest, it proclaimed clearly. Because Kshatriyas, it is a custom to keep the upper part of the body without much cloth. There's just an uttari or a small shawl they cover it. So their broad chest can be clearly seen. And his broad chest proclaimed how he had conquered all directions. It proclaimed how he had defeated Indra because it had borne the thunderbolt of Indra. It had borne the weapons of Agni and Chandra and Vayu and all. So the king had conquered everyone. There was none left to be conquered. And their prince regent, Meghanad, the son of Ravan and Mandodari, had defeated Indra, and was therefore called Indrajit. He had powerful weapons. So presently the king is powerful, no one can defeat him, and the future king is, if not as, more powerful. The stock market will never crash there. What are the chances? Economy will boom, everything will be protected, they have all enjoyment. Imagine if the city, the roads are paved with gold. I mean, they have so much gold. Gold in the sense, what does gold symbolify in this material world? Sense gratification. Gold, you can buy anything with gold. Yes? Everything was available for them. But because Ravana was following the path of unrighteousness, and Prabhupada says that in the last line, his sinful activities culminated in giving trouble to Sita Devi. That is when fear reigned in Lanka. And started off with one monkey coming into Lanka, Hanumanji. And the reign of terror began. So, here Mandodari is saying is, now that you have been defeated, the whole city has been defeated, we have been defeated, now where will we go for shelter? Where will we go for shelter? And in the future verses, she explains what that shelter is and what shelter Ravana should have taken. Similarly, in the Bhagavatam, there is the description of the king of Ushinar, King Suyagya, a great warrior who liked to fight and conquer, but then he met his end in one of the battles and was lying dead on the battlefield. And his queens come wailing out and running. And in one verse they describe the same feelings. Oh great king, with your broad arms you protected all of us, you took care of us, you loved us. Now you're lying here biting the dust. Your entire body is covered with the dust of the battlefield. You are no longer hearing our cries. You are no longer hearing our voices. Where will we go now? Who will protect us? In saying so, they, in great lamentation, held on to the body of the king, not letting it go for its final rites. So Yamaraj had to come in the form of a young boy. And he explained to them that, isn't this illusion? I am an orphan boy. I have no parents. In fact, I was living in the wilderness, in the forest, with animals. Now you are saying, who will protect? Who was going to protect me? You are at least women of age, adults. You can do something to feed yourself off, fend off troubles for yourself. There are so many options open to you, but I was born and I was in one way left alone in the forest. Who took care of me? In fact, I was within the arena of fierce animals. Still I am alive and well. So who is it that actually cares? Who is it that actually protects? The king, the husband, this and that? In my case, even my parents weren't there. So it is providence, the Supreme Lord, who offers protection. And if he offers protection, what harm can befall one? If there is no protection of the Supreme Lord, then where can one seek shelter? In this way, he tries to convince them, giving an analogy of a bird. Finally, they are convinced and left off the body for the final rites. This story has been told by Hiranyakashipu after the death of Hiranyaksha. So the same personality is now lying dead as Ravan. However, because Mandodari has a good sense of discrimination, she herself gives the answers. Mandodari had so many good qualities. She was in fact a very powerful lady. If we consider someone like Queen Mandodari now, then she could have been the president or the prime minister of a big nation, as are women of today in some countries. Powerful. Mandodari was, if not as, more powerful. Or how does she express her feelings? Her true feelings when her husband is lying there. She says, where will we go for shelter now? Because Mandodari, by a good sense of discrimination, by a good intellect, she knows that the protections of this material world are temporary. They are here today, tomorrow they will be lost. And according to our status or position in society, we are always dependent on someone. The most powerful of all personalities is also subordinate to someone more powerful. That is what in the third canto, Lord Kapiladeva explains to his mother Devahuti. He explains, death personified is subordinate to me. Mrityus charati madbhayat. And similarly, in the first canto, Kunti Maharani is aghast, not aghast, but she is a little amazed at seeing the same Krishna running away from Mother Yashoda, who is trying to bind him. And she says, how is it that you are running away from her in fear when bhirapi yad bibheti, when fear personified runs away in fear of you? So these two things, sometimes the Shastra explain them as being two different personalities. Mrityu or death and fear or bhaya. Sometimes that fear of bhaya is also represented by Yamaraj, the one who ultimately says this is right, this is wrong, and gives the reaction within this creation. So fear and death ultimately control everyone in this world. Throughout life there is fear, and the ultimate fear is fear of death. In the Bhagavatam, both of these personalities, fear and death, both personified, have been explained to be fearful of Lord Hari. Subordinate to Lord Hari. Therefore, in the Ramayana it is explained that when Mandodari comes out and she is crying piteously, then all the ladies, seeing her state of great despair, they say, O Queen, who knows the ways of fate? Ultimately, Providence is all powerful. The kings are powerful as long as their fate does not change. So just try to be calm. And then Mandodari, she expresses her feelings in front of Ravan. She says, Indra, the king of the demigods, fear to face you in battle. Forget fear of facing in battle. He could not dare to face your anger. If Indra just heard that Ravana is angry, they will try to find a place to hide. Because, you know, Ravana just gets angry and says, all right, I'm angry today, I have to go and beat Indra. That's it. Just gets up, climbs on his chariot, Pushpak Viman, goes to Indra, beats him up and comes back. Indra, the king of the demigods, they dare not face your anger. The rishis and the Gandharvas at the very sight of you fled in fear. Now, Gandharvas are a class whom everyone offers protection. They are like the Switzerland of this universe. Because they store in their bands all glories. They know how to glorify someone and sing their glories. The Gandharvas, that race. The Kinnaras, the Gandharvas. You never find in the scriptures somebody going to Gandharva Loka and, you know, fighting with them, destroying them. But Gandharvas come. Yeah? In fact, Narad Muni says that I as Upabharana also came. As Narad Muni came and glorified Hiranyakashipu just to keep his peaceful. And the Gandharvas would come and sing glories. So because they have that quality of glorifying, they actually do not fear anyone. Because, you know, who will attack us? If they attack, the economy will go down. Right? They won't have sufficient money to have weapons, so who will attack us? But the Gandharvas would, they do not know how this person, Ravana, would react. The rishis were fearful. Because Ravana would just come and one day say, all right, today I want to kill rishis. That's it. That's what he would do at the Dandakaranya. The rishis were telling Lord Ram, he just comes in and without any cause, he just shoots his arrows and kills. So they would flee in fear in all directions. And now a mere man, a wanderer in the forest, has brought you down. This is such a quirk of fate. Isn't it? That is what material nature does. She brings us up, 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 up. She does that. You know, fueling our own material desires. And then a big fall. She throws us down. You are totally insulted, shamed, bereft of any power. So here Mandadari is trying to explain to Ravan, you are the great Ravan, Rishi. Everyone was fearful of you. And who brought you down? A mere man wandering in the forest. I do not understand how this could have happened. Truly, fate is all powerful. So this is, it's very interesting to analyze how a living entity tries to blame situation, circumstances or others for whatever is happening. I'm all good. I never intended to do this. All I wanted was that everything should be good, all right. I wanted to help someone. Then why did I suffer like this? This is not correct. It must be because of the graha. It must be because of the kala. It must be because of the devatas. It is because everyone else, you know, is conspiring against me. They don't want a good man to come up. A good person. Hence that Avanti Brahman, he says, I do not blame any of these. These are not the cause of my distress. So, very wonderfully Valmiki Muni is bringing out all these aspects to Mandodari's words. Now how do we understand her real status or position? But my Lord, O Lord, I warned you long ago. Did I not tell you that this Ram is not a mere human being but someone greater than Indra or Agni or Yama? He is a supreme personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu himself. Come here and performing his activities as a human being. Didn't I tell you this? So again we find that Although these words sound as if Mandodari is trying to say, see, I was right and you were wrong. But that is not how she is expressing it. Because first of all she says fate is all powerful. Not that I am powerful, I know, and therefore I was right. But fate is all powerful. And then she says, I did try to warn you. What I did was, I tried to offer you an opportunity to change your destiny. No doubt fate is all powerful, no doubt. Fate, or Ravana's fate, which was fueled by his own intentions, that is what fate is. We make our fate by entering into this material world. In this material world, that is what fate is. Our own intentions develop our fate. So fate becomes powerful. Now then that fate controls us. Very powerful fate. All powerful, she says. But then I offered you an opportunity. Or you are offered an opportunity by your wife. In form of this good counsel. I warned you long ago. Not only is he the Supreme Lord, but he is a Supreme Lord without a beginning, without a middle, and without an end. In other words, he is not the Supreme Lord that you and I imagine. He is a Supreme Lord as a Supreme Lord, and we have to accept him as it is. Ahus tvam rishes swayam chaiva bravishime, because you also are telling me, Arjuna says in the Bhagavad Gita, therefore, I know that you are Param Brahma, Param Dhamma. You yourself have told me. Yes, I am giving the references of Asita, Devala, Vyasa, Rishya Sarve, Narada, all of that. But you personally have told me too. So you are the Supreme Lord, not just on the basis because others tell you. You know, it's not that a group of people come, as sometimes in the those who try to say there's that about the Hindu pantheon, there are so many gods, and try to explain that how this is all. This is a group of people have come together and created a god. A group of people like Asita, Devala, Vyasa, Narada, they have come together and created a god. So Arjuna is saying these are very, very powerful reasons. These are substantial reasons for you being the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But despite all that, the one and only one reason that can, or the one and only one reason for you to be God is that you are saying you are God. So that's it, acceptable. So that is the meaning of when she's explaining to Ravana. After his death, she's saying, he is that Vishnu without a beginning, without a middle, and without an end. You try to find out his beginning, middle, and end, you know. He is roaming the forest, this and that. He was born of Dashratha. You are going to kill him. You thought that was his end. You're telling Sita, why are you going after that forest wanderer? Marry me, I'm the king. What will he give you? You're thinking that is the end of Ram. So, not according to our imagination. Ultimately, we have to accept Krishna as he is, as he explains himself through scriptures, through his devotees. That is Krishna as it is. Even when we heard that he stood on the ground, riding no chariot, and slew your brother in Janasthan, your brother Khara, did I not say the same thing? Right then, 14,000 soldiers within an hour's time. In Janasthan. Now Janasthan is a territory of Kharan Dushan. They knew all the territory, they knew guerrilla warfare, they knew what to do. Within an hour, you cannot go into an army of 14,000 well-trained Rakshasas led by Khara, Dushan and Trishira and defeat them. They know the territory, they know warfare, they know everything. Within an hour, it's impossible. And that too when one does not have a chariot to run around. One is standing on the ground. First of all, it does not offer good an angle to shoot. You know, someone who is at a higher, seated on a tower can easily shoot someone who is on the ground. He does not have a chariot. And he killed 14,000, and he killed Khara, Dushan and Trishira. At that time I told you that, when Hanuman penetrated Lanka, which is impenetrable, it is 100 yojanas from close to any land, surrounded by the huge sea, The sea has so many ogres, so many obstacles in it, the ocean, and then there is the great Lankini, who's controlling, who's... And Hanuman just penetrated it. And not only just penetrated it, but he devastated it and laid Lanka in waste. Didn't I tell you then? For I knew the truth. I begged you not to incur the enmity, but you would not listen. Why did you cast your lustful eyes on Sita? This was the madness that drove you to your death. So ultimate sin was this. Ravana was just building up on his unrighteous activities. And when he stole Sita, and then she said, how did you steal her alone in the guise of a mendicant? Now which great warrior, that is the cause. You think you are very powerful, then you should exhibit your power. He showed that power in battlefield facing Ram. But in stealing Sita, he showed his cowardice. He showed his duplicity. He showed that he was under the control of the modes. There was dandva, there was duality. Alas, my husband, oh my dear, now you lie dead. But just look how beautiful you look, being pierced by the arrows of Ram, covered with blood and dust of battle. To find good in something so devastating really shows the glorious character of a lady like Mandodari. Now, what is there to glorify there? Is there any chance of finding anything good in such a situation? And then she becomes totally helpless. What should I do now? I had a lord who was the lord of Lanka. I had a son who had defeated Indra. Both are dead now. And I'm left a helpless widow with no friends or even a house. From the queen of Lanka, today she is a widow without a house. So that is how destiny is. However, those who took shelter of Lord Ram, like Vibhishan, or ultimately even after death, Lord Ram considered Ravan surrendered. You know, when does an enemy surrender? Either physically they raise up their hands, surrender their weapons and say, alright, we surrender. Or when they die, it's victory. They have surrendered, right? They have surrendered in death. So Vibhishan was feeling so much of despair seeing his brother dead. But then all those feelings of how he had harshly treated him and how he had harshly treated the universe, he said, oh, I cannot perform his final rites. And Ram said, no, no, no. In death, there is no enmity. As long as he was alive, he was my enemy. But now that he is dead, this is just the body of Ravan. He is no longer my enemy. And that is how justice should be, or that is how relationship should be. Sometimes if there is some feeling of friction, and in a good council amongst nice, or as in the villages in India they used to call the panch, elderly people, things are resolved, finish. The battlefield is over. Everything has been buried in the battlefield. No more enmity. One does not come out with a vengeful heart. Today I accept, tomorrow I will again come back. For the heart is meant to love, not to hate. It's a very, very heavy burden to carry around hate and vengeance and envy. A very heavy burden. With such a heavy burden, how can one have love in the heart? So Lord Ram, the source of all love, as a perfect human being, he shows Ravana is now dead. And because he fought as a great warrior, his destiny is the higher planets. Therefore, that he may reach that higher destiny, perform his final rites. You must do that. And also you have to be coronated as a king. The people have to see you coronated as a king, so you have to perform his final rites. Vibhishan did that. So this Ramayana is very wonderful. It is full of so many wonderful instructions. Presently we are at the instance of Mandodari, who's through her words, even in the words of grief, explaining so many wonderful virtuous principles. Today is also the disappearance day of Lochandas Thakur, who gave us the wonderful pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. Just as Valmiki Muni explained the pastimes of Lord Ramchandra, Lochandas Thakur, through his poems, has explained the wonderful character and qualities and pastimes of Lord Gauranga, a disciple of Narahari Sarkar. He was specially blessed by him to bring out through his poems, through his writings, the munificent nature of Lord Chaitanya. Parama Karuna Pahu Dui Jana Nitai Gauri Chandra. So many poems he has written. He took shelter of Narahari Sarkar at a very young age, but he was also married at a young age. However, because his wife was a young girl, not even a teenager, under 10 years of age, she used to stay with her parents. So for many years he stayed with Narahari Sarkar in his ashram as a brahmachari. But when his wife came of age, his in-laws came to Narahari Sarkar Thakur and said, he's already married. We understand that what he's doing is good, but what about this girl? So Narahari Sarkar said, no, since you are married, you should go back. Resolve things. You go back and you resolve things. So taking his advice, he goes back to his hometown. He does not remember his own house. The way to his own house. Maybe the village lanes changed, you know, new walls came up somewhere. So he did not. So he asked a young girl who was drawing water at a well. And he was trained in the ashram Narahari Sarkar to respect everyone as his mother, every other lady as his mother. So he said, oh mother, which is the way to the house of Sadananji, his father? So she said, that way, you know, with, she had her head covered, so with her some action she explained this way. So he goes to his house, everyone welcomes him, and they say, this is nice. Oh, your wife has just gone out, she'll come back. She comes, and she's the same lady who's drawing water, whom you have called mother. So she says, no, I've called you mother, what can I do? So she said, yes, what can you do? So he stayed there for some time. They had nice Krishna Katha. And then with her blessings and her permission, he said, can I go back now? See, I've fulfilled my duty. I've come back as a husband. Now the next step is that I have to go back to my guru. So please give your permission. She said, yeah, okay, whatever is your desire. So he goes back and becomes a great saint, worshipped in her lineage. And his wife is, she also dedicates her entire life at the lotus feet of her husband and Lord Shri Nitai Gauri Chandra. Both are glorified in our sampradaya. His Grace Lochandas Thakur ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Nitai Gaura Premanande. Hare Krishna.